Well, hello, everybody. My name is Don Wyatt. I'm the general manager here at AM 1220 KPJC, and I want to remind you that things are changing here, so make sure and tell your friends to tune in on the air or at thejctown.com, where you can hear the station streaming live 24 hours around the world, www.thejctown.com. Now, the topic of my conversation with you today is really simple, Easter and Passover. More than likely, what I'm going to tell you is going to make you upset. It's going to make you mad. It's going to make you wonder. It's going to make you want to turn the radio off and say, what is this heretic telling us? Well, what I have to tell you is that if you are celebrating Easter Sunday, you are out of God's will. In fact, I'll go deeper than putting it in nice terms. If you are celebrating Easter Sunday, you are in sin. So let me prove it to you. In fact, I'll prove it to you in just a matter of moments. But then I'll back it up with more information as we go along. Now, why would I want to do this? Why would I want to get a bunch of people upset? I don't want to. I don't really want to have to be the one to break down years and years worth of learning and tradition. But I do need to tell you the truth. And if you hear the truth and make another decision, then that's your business. You can do that. That's okay. But I have to love you enough to tell you the hard truth, and you can listen to it and don't believe anything that I say. I always tell everyone, go look it up in Scripture. Go look it up at Wikipedia. Go look it up in some encyclopedia. The things that I'm telling you are fact. And for some reason, our Sunday church pastors ignore the fact of what the Bible is telling them. And so that's why you have to come to a radio station like KPJC, so that you can know the truth, have all the information, and make your own decision. Many times we hear, for example, that, well, we don't have to do what the Old Testament says anymore because that was for then and we have things that we believe now. But I have to put this simple premise up. If God, and I call him Yahweh, I call him by his name rather than a title, God, that actually originated after a Canaanite god and was then later transferred to a Celtic god, I actually call him by the name he told Moses to have the children of Israel call him, and I call him Yahweh. So, if the Old Testament is not for today, if the laws and ordinances and statutes of the Old Testament are not for today, then that means that Yahweh changed his mind, that God changed his mind. And Scripture tells us that Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, that leaves us with a problem. Either the God we worship isn't really God, or the Old Testament laws, regulations, and ordinances are valid for today. Now, you might say that, well, those ordinances were for the children of Israel. They're not for us. Those laws, those statutes, the commandments to keep the holy festivals that were dedicated entirely to Yahweh, those were for the Old Testament. And so today we can have our own festivals and our own holidays with impunity. We can do what we want to do. I want to tell you again that if you are indeed washed in the blood of Jesus and the blood of Yeshua, his Hebrew name, again, that his mother called him, that his father called him, that his earthly dad called him, Yeshua. If indeed you are washed in his blood, then you are not a Christian. You've been told you're a Christian. There have been blinders put over your eyes to believe that you're something that you're not. But Yeshua said he came to regather and seek the lost sheep of Israel. Paul said, Rav Shaul or Rabbi Shaul said, that anyone who comes under the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, then becomes grafted into Israel. Now, if these ordinances were only for Israel, only for the Old Testament Hebrews, how can that be if God doesn't change, number one, and number two, you have been grafted into Israel? You see, Christianity is a new religion that started after the death of the disciples and was adopted by the Roman Emperor and the Catholic Church. And if we as evangelicals don't get away from what the Catholic Church has foisted upon us, then we are nothing more than little sisters of the Catholic Church. In fact, I think the Bible actually calls us daughters of the whore when we were a part of something and we came out of it, sort of. Now, my war and my words are on the institution of Catholicism and false religion. I'm not at all tough on the loving, giving, caring people who know that faith and practice that faith. I believe many of them are washed in the blood of Yeshua, and that's all it takes. Be washed in the blood of Yeshua, of Jesus, for your salvation. But it goes on after that. And we're told in Scripture not to add to Scripture or take away from Scripture. We are told not to mix the holy and the unholy. And yet that's exactly what the Catholic Church has done, especially with two areas of great importance. The first one is the seventh day Shabbat, the seventh day of rest, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, the Sabbath day, has an express intent. It's an invitation from our Creator to come and dwell with Him, to rest with Him. He said on the seventh day, He rested. That's exactly what He's invited us to do on Saturday, Friday night to Saturday night. He set this apart as a memorial of His covenant with us, His children. Now, if you're not His children, this message isn't for you. But if you are His child, then we need to be doing exactly what He tells us to do, don't we? Because that's what good children do. So we have the seventh day Sabbath that all of our Sunday churches say is unnecessary, in direct disobedience, mind you, to what the Savior has told us, to what the Creator has told us. Going further, then we have holidays that we have created that were actually from other gods. That's right. You are worshiping on a day called Sun Day, the venerable day of the sun, the eternal sun god. And this is what was added together with the beliefs of the pagans and the Catholic Church in order that they could start a new faith. They moved the capital of the faith of Yahweh away from Jerusalem to Rome. They made it illegal to worship on the Shabbat as ordered in Scripture, but made it so that you must worship on Sunday. They also prohibited keeping of any of the feasts that were commanded of Yahweh's people to keep forever. Passover or Pesach, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, and so on. So don't worry about it. They didn't leave us naked and without holidays, though. They gave us Christmas at the winter solstice, the time where the sun god began to come back from his long sleep in the middle of winter on December 25th. That wasn't when our Savior was born. Yahweh has his own calendar. That's why he gave us these festivals, because Yeshua was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles, or booths, means that he came to dwell with us, the Feast of Indwelling. But that's not our topic today. Our real topic is all about Easter, and I want you to know what you're celebrating. I received an email from a listener this week, and it said, "Please talk about the message of Easter. We must try to dismantle this false Christian doctrine." And he gives me some verses, and he says, "Don, you can find out the info about Easter in Jeremiah 44, starting at Jeremiah 44:15. This is a classic Gunsmoke Wild West showdown over Easter. God sent Jeremiah the prophet to tell the people specifically not to observe Easter. The word in the Bible used to describe Easter is called the Queen of Heaven. And of course, this is a title for Ishtar, a Babylonian goddess of fertility. Israelites, especially women, had worshipped her for a long time. And why did women do this? Because husbands were weak and they refused to speak out. That's kind of where we're at today, isn't it? Who is it that wants to say, "Wow, look at how cute this is with the Easter bunnies, and we get to dress up and we get to have Easter egg hunts. And at Christmas time, the children are so darling and they'll be so disappointed if we don't have a holiday for them. And it's all about the kids, and it's really not about the gifts. And, or wait a minute, it is about Jesus, but even though he wasn't born here," let me go on with his email here. "Jeremiah was sent to give a message not to observe this pagan holiday. The people were very arrogant and prideful and cocky. In fact, they told Jeremiah that they wouldn't listen to him nor his word from Yahweh." And he makes a comment. Can you believe this? They really said this. Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it. Why? Because most, 99% are sitting in a Sunday pew right now, ignoring the command to keep the seventh day Sabbath, ignoring the commands not to mix holy and unholy, pagan, with the things that belong to Yahweh. And they're saying, "Well, that's the way we've done it. That's our tradition. And it works for us." I'm going to read the scripture to you in a little bit. And I hope that you can hear the parallels, because they're absolutely the same then as it was now. Our fathers are no different than what we are today. We believe that we have what's working, and so therefore we're just going to keep doing it and build our own kingdom rather than build the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Yahweh. So these people actually told Jeremiah that they had been successful in all their ways and they weren't about to change. They didn't care about his message from Yahweh, and he even tried to warn them again, and they still said, "No, we won't hear it." Very interesting, isn't it? I will venture to say that there's not a pastor or a scholar or someone who's gone to seminary that doesn't know about the pagan origins of Easter. And don't worry, I'm going to tell you all about Easter so you can make your own choice. I'm going to tell you about this goddess. I'm going to tell you about the traditions behind the Easter that we celebrate. So hang on, but I want you to notice the parallels of today, even right now. If I come to you and tell you, prove to me that it's okay with Yahweh to worship on Sunday, prove to me it's okay with our God to keep Christmas or Easter, you can't do it because it's not in Scripture and it's not there. And our God doesn't change from one generation to the next and decide that something that wasn't okay in one generation is now all of a sudden okay 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now. You know, we have a DVD set available at the station called Time is the Ally of Deceit. And it really is. It really is. But in these end days, again, the draperies are being pulled off of our eyes. And you are going to have to make a decision, my friend, whether you want to be obedient to the God of the Bible or whether you want to be obedient to the traditions of man and to our pastors and to our schools of higher learning and to our Bible schools and so on. The scripture starts in Jeremiah 44:15. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by in a great multitude, and the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt. Oh, by the way, where do you think we live? Do we live in the promised land yet? Are we under slavery to the enemy? Are we under slavery to economic debt? Are we under slavery to a culture? Do we have a Pharaoh in this country? Keep watching for the parallels. They answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of Yahweh, we will not listen to you, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour drink offerings to her, as we have done with our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we have plenty of food, and we're well off, and we see no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, and pouring out our drink offerings to her, we have lack of everything, and have been consumed by famine and the sword. And the women also said, and we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, to Easter, and we poured out drink offerings to her, and we did make cakes for her, hot cross buns, to worship her. We poured out drink offerings to her, even without our husband's permission. Uh-oh. Husbands, can you take charge of your family? Get things back on the right track? Adam didn't do it. It's been a problem from the very beginning, hasn't it? Who will be responsible for how you worship in your home? Who will be responsible for saying, I will stand with Yahweh this day. My household will stand with Yahweh this day. We will do things His way. We will worship Him as He wants to be worshiped, when He wants to be worshiped, how He wants to be worshiped, and we'll stop and repent for what we've done. So Yahweh could no longer bear it. We're in verse 22, Jeremiah 44. Because of the evil doings and because of the abominations which you have committed, these things, worshiping on Easter to a pagan god, on the day of a pagan god, is an abomination, it says. Therefore, your land is in desolation, in astonishment, a curse, and without an inhabitant, as it is this day. It will be so here again, unless we repent and get back to His statutes and ordinances. Because you have burned incense, because you have celebrated to the goddess Ishtar, and because you have sinned against Yahweh and have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh or walked in His law, in His statutes, or in His testimony, therefore this calamity has happened to you at this day. Remember that, at this day. When that happens at this day in this nation, in your family, in my family, and we're all affected, there's going to be a reason. It's because we're not listening to the word of Yahweh. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of Yahweh. See, He's coming back again. This probably isn't even the first time you've heard this and you've ignored it. I hope it's the first time, because maybe you'll get a second chance. Thus says Yahweh, Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sevaot, Elohim, or God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands. Have you fulfilled with your hands? You go to the sunrise service, did you, on Sunday? Gonna go for some Easter egg hunts? Make sure that your children are involved in the fertility rites? Let me tell you, churches should not be doing Easter egg hunts. And yet I go to church websites all the time and see the celebration of the rolling of eggs. Why is it different today than it was then? If He doesn't change, His rules haven't changed. He's a jealous God. But again, the people said, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, and you will surely keep your vows and perform your vows, said Jeremiah. Therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, all of Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. At the time, remember, they were the people of Yahweh, just like we believers are the people of Yahweh today. Join with anyone, whether they're sojourners, natural born, it doesn't matter. If you believe on the name of Yeshua, we need to go by His statutes and ordinances. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says Yahweh, that my name shall be no more named in the mouth of any man in Judah in all the land of Egypt, Now that's interesting, isn't it? My name shall not be named in any man in the people of Yahweh. Isn't that how it is today? We call him by his generic title, God. We call him by the generic title, Lord, which actually means Baal, Baal. You can look it up in your own Strong's Bible Concordance. That's what it says. Husband, master, Baal, the same God that the children of Israel, our forefathers, committed adultery with. I hope I'm shaking you. I hope I'm making you really mad because I want you to go look at this stuff on your own. I want you to figure this out and say, oh my God, oh Yahweh, forgive me. I didn't know. So we had the same problem then as we have now. This word Easter, of course, I touched on it, has been adopted from pagans as an attempt to enculturate by syncretism. Remember, syncretism is taking opposing facts, putting them into one ball. In fact, opposing truths, putting them into one workable system so that it pleases everyone. This behavior is an abomination to our Creator. If you recognize Halloween for what it is, for example, if you recognize that you should not be celebrating a day dedicated to demons, then this truth is no different for you. Easter was already one of the two biggest celebrations observed by pagans long before Christianity came along. Babylon is still with us. We are still in Egypt. Easter, Ishtar, was celebrated by the Assyrians, the Phoenicians, and the Philistines. So why in the world would we celebrate it today? Look, all you have to do is go and find a reference manual for yourself. Go to the Webster's Dictionary. Go to something and do your own research. This festival involved the rites of spring near the equinox of Venus, when the pagans believed that Mother Earth was impregnated by the sun. They engaged in ritual sex acts and used fertility symbols like eggs, rabbits, and hot cross buns. And of course, the Babylonian symbol for a female, and still is, a circle with a cross beneath. The round cakes were made for the Queen of Heaven and the Great Mother Earth, with the cross symbol indicating the female. The cross also indicated the equinox, when the Earth's orbit crossed the celestial equator. Now, to ensure a prosperous growing season, just like the children of Israel were saying, we like our Easter, don't tell us that. The pagans rolled these Easter eggs decorated with bright colors of spring on their fields, hoping to induce fertility. These eggs were then hidden from evil spirits in rabbits' nests and other symbols of fertility. They even killed their children and used their blood to color these eggs. Sound familiar? And of course, even at our own federal government on the White House lawn, there's the great Easter egg Sunday Easter egg roll. Easter is the name of a Babylonian mother of harlots found in Revelation 17. And her image stands as the sun goddess Lady Liberty in the New York Harbor of the United States of America. Have you ever noticed those little sun rays on her head, on the little hat she wears? The Hebrew Tanakh, or what we know as the Old Testament, calls her Asherah. I'm sure you remember reading about the Asherah poles, the seven horned or sun rays that could be seen as a strong indication of her true identity. This emblem is the flower of the lily, seen illustrated with her. Isn't it interesting that her emblem is the flower, the lily, and most churches decorate with lilies on Easter morning. Instead of inheriting the truth, friends, we have inherited pagan practices. We have inherited Babylon. We have inherited Egypt, and we haven't bothered to go and find out if the things they're teaching us in our churches are true according to Scripture. If we only study history as people, places, and dates without comprehending why things occurred as they did, then everything is unorganized. But when you assemble it correctly, it all fits together, clarifying the path we walk on. Satan disguises himself often as a female. We know that he was behind Nimrod as Moloch, as Baal, the Lord, as Mithras, the god of Christmas, and so he is also Ishtar, Easter. Someone might say, wait a minute, Don, the word Easter is in my King James Bible. Well, let me tell you, translations are not inspired. The error exists by the tens of thousands in many translations. And in fact, in the King James Version, the word Pesach in Greek, it means Passover, the Hebrew word Pesach. All scholars will admit this translation error, except for perhaps those who are tied to the King James Version only, hallelujah. It appears once as Acts 12:4. Luke, who wrote almost 40% of the Messianic writings, didn't put it there as Easter. The King James is the only one with this error, since the translators corrected it in all the other versions. The Encyclopedia Britannica states that Easter, or Estar, Ostera, or Easter A, was the goddess of spring in the religion of the ancient Angles and Saxons. Every April, a festival was celebrated in her honor with the beginnings of Christianity. Now listen to this. With the beginnings of Christianity, not necessarily beginnings of the faith of the Bible, the old gods, small g, were put aside. From then on, the festival was celebrated in honor of the resurrection of Christ, Christos, Mashiach, the Anointed One. I want to remind you there were many anointed ones during those times. Goes on to say, but was still known as Easter after the old goddess. Isn't that interesting? When did our God need for there to be an old goddess to name his holidays after? Friends, we are in error. We are in error and we have to correct it. It's on your heads. For the good of your family, look into these things on your own. You see, the festivals that Yahweh told us to celebrate, the Passover, it had prophetic purpose. It has prophetic purpose. It's going to happen again where we need to be passed over as those who are keeping the commandments of Yahweh, who are washed in his blood. Revelation 12:17, I always use this as a standard, that those who the enemy, the dragon, come against are those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony of Yeshua, are washed in the blood of Yeshua. I want that to be you. This week, Passover is going to be celebrated. I hope you'll find a place to do it. If you don't know, call the station at 503-316-1220. I know that on Wednesday night, there's going to be a pre-Passover gathering just so that people can learn about Passover and what it's all about. There'll be several teachers there that you can ask questions from and learn more about your biblical roots, the things that have been hidden from you. My friends, this battle isn't new. This is what's gone on from the very beginning of time. The enemy of our soul, the enemy of our God Yahweh, will take any form he can. He will infiltrate anything he can. He will do anything he can to lie and deceive, to kill and destroy the things that belong to Yahweh. The reason this matters so much is because you belong to him, and he wants you to know his ways. He wants you to keep his precepts. He wants his family to come together under his word, under his guidelines. The mysteries are there for us to find out as kings and priests. And I say priests because we have to teach these things to those in the world. With the trouble and the tribulation that's coming, why wouldn't it be, or rather, why wouldn't you want to know the whole truth of the whole Bible? You know, Jeremiah isn't the only book in the Bible that talks about idol worship, false worship. And you say, I don't worship idols. If we are not worshiping in the means prescribed to us, in the ways that our Father told us to worship him, then the worship is unacceptable. And I know we get emotional and we raise our hands and we clap and jump and down and we love our Jesus. But you have to remember, the letter J wasn't even invented until the 1600s by the Jesuits, the Catholics. There's purpose in our Savior's name being called Yeshua. It means Yahweh's salvation. These mysteries that are being unfolded are being unfolded for our good in these end times. Jeremiah 16:19 is a passage that everyone should know. And it says, O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. Now that's important to you because we are coming upon the day of affliction. Whether it's only this country, whether it's the whole world, whether we're at the end of times, doesn't matter. We need to live the same. We need to get back to the Bible. We have to understand the beginnings of the Bible in order to understand what the end is trying to tell us. In fact, the prophet Isaiah tells us that if we want to understand the end, go back to the beginning. But to finish this verse, Jeremiah 16:19, my refuge in the day of affliction, the nations or Gentiles, the nations shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, are we in the ends of the earth? Are you in the ends of the earth? Have you been touched today to say, I want to know the truth? Because I came back and I said what this verse says, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthless and unprofitable things. Friends, the tradition of man will not save us in that day of affliction. Now, I want you to know that this is actually a message of hope. Yes, you may have to give up something that you shouldn't have ever started in the first place, Easter and Christmas and pagan holidays and so on. Who cares? We have more festivals as Hebrews than I ever imagined. We have 10-day-long festivals. We have 8-day-long festivals. We have new moons every month. We have a Shabbat every week. Yahweh, our Father, made everything perfectly, and he provided for us in every way. What Satan has done, he's taken all of the things that have been gifts to us as his children as Yahweh's children, and he's counterfeited them. He's made replicas of them. He's changed the truth just a little so that it looks good, it looks religious, it looks like faith. But the fact is, we really are missing out on so much by following the traditions of man and not following Scripture just as it's written. We have to dig in. We have to know what's really been taught to us. Is it the thing that is truth, or is there a deeper truth, another truth, more truth that our Father has put in place for us? Remember, Jesus, Yeshua, said, "I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law." He's making the fullness of times known to you today. That these holidays we've come to know as Christian holidays are wrong. But the holidays that our Father gave us to keep are right, and it's what pleases Him, and it's what's going to save us in this day of trouble. See, all these things that have been provided for us have been put in place simply to deceive us. And so far, the enemy has done a great job of it. And our leaders, so far, I have great hope for our leaders. So far, we've bitten into this. We've jumped in with both feet. Well, my email address is don@thejctown.com. And you can write me with questions if you want. But I hope what you do is start listening to this station, because while we do have some Christian programming on and some of them still celebrate pagan holidays, and while much of the Christian teaching is really good and based on Scripture, the part that's not is essential that we toss it out as being the opinion of man based on misinterpretation of what the Bible really says. Most of the teaching is good, but much of it is absolutely misguided. So that's why we're putting on Hebraic teachers. That's why we're putting on those who have an understanding of the beginning, not from a Greek mindset, but from those who understand the original texts, the original foundations. Father, I want to ask that you would be with these listeners today, that whoever has heard this wouldn't be offended, but simply will make them curious, simply will make them want to go to their Bible, to their own scriptures, and do a word search and look at the beginnings and find out what things have really been taught, whether they're true or not. And if they're not true, put a spirit in them that they don't even want to have anything to do with those things anymore, but they want to know your truth and your ways. I pray this for the glory of your Son, Yeshua. I pray this for the glory of you, of your name, Yahweh, and for the glory of your kingdom. Amen. If you want a really basic primer on the things that I've told you about today, call the station, ask how you can get the DVD set, Time is the Ally of Deceit, or Fossilized Customs, a book. You may also ask for the book Pagan Christianity. The number at the station is 503-316-1220, or you can email me, don@thejctown.com, or jamie@thejctown.com. Don't forget to listen to our program. Most of the day, you'll really find out new information you've never heard before. In fact, we say it's radio you won't get anyplace else.